This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
So it's good to be in Coventry in City Church.
Yes.
It's a long time since I've been with the whole church, though. I've been. Yeah, so it's good for you to see me. I mean, good for me to see you, of course. So there was this guy, he just finished his Bible school, 3 years Bible school, and he was going to lead a church, and then he was going to be the pastor. And so he decided to visit, he wanted to visit every member in the church, just like, you know, go home to them and say, introduce himself, you know, and just to see them. And So he did that. He did a good job. So every day, every evening, he was out there to meet some of the members in the church. And one day he came to a house, and he was sure there was people there, but it was nobody opening the door. So he was knocking on the door, but nobody answered. So, but then he took his visit card. He had his business card. And on the business card, there was the scripture from Revelation 3:20. So he just took the business card under the door, and then he left. The following Sunday, when there was offerings, and he saw the basket, you know, and I saw the same visit card in this, you say basket? Or? Yeah. But no, it was handwritten on the other side, another scripture from the Revelation 3:20. So in Genesis 3:20, that was on his business card, was, look, I'm standing at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will have a share a meal together as friends. So that was the scripture on the pastor's business card. But then, handwritten on the other side of the business card was from Revelation 3:10. I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. That's great, isn't it? Praise God. Well, anyway. But it's good to be here. And it's, God, well, we're singing this song and singing that heaven should come down to earth, you know. That will happen through you and me.
That's right.
It depends how you position yourself. Don't live your life. Don't close in your thinking what God has opened. It's so important for us that we live and have this revelation. It's not about all the gifts you have. It's about what kind of revelation you have on the inside. And we are living under an open heaven. And I remember when I built a house in 1996. And before I started to build, I went to the bank. I knew I had the money. I was talking to the electricians or plumbers or whatever. Before I started to build. So we have to understand what we have. If we are going to serve God and fulfill everything He's called us to do, it's very important you know what you have, what He has given to you. But I just want to start out from Book of Acts about the first church. And the first church was just normal people like you and me. Not perfect people like me, but, you know. But it's just normal people. And I just love reading from the message from verse 38. They committed themselves. And just the word committed themselves, the commitment, to commit yourself is a very positive word. It's a great word to commit yourself first to Christ, then to each other. Yes. Because the cross is always strong as this way. Yes. So for me to serve God and do what I'm called to do is that first of all I have to commit myself to Christ, and they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together, the common meal, and the prayers. And there was a commitment, because the body of Christ, this church, City Church Coventry, is the body of Christ. And I know that Christ is, reading this morning from Luke 10, 19:10, that Jesus came to seek what was lost, to save. And He hasn't changed. He is the same. Jesus is seeking in Coventry, but the thing is, He will use the church so that He can seek through you and me. Amen? Yeah. So there was a commitment, and everyone around was in awe. All those wonders, signs and wonders done by the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony. That's great, isn't it? It is possible to live in a wonderful harmony, but it starts with you and me. Are you living your life in harmony with God and yourself? Do you have peace? Before Jesus was sending them out, he said, peace be with you. Are you in peace with God? Or are you always feeling you have to, you should, or you there's always something in you that you're not pleased with? But a wonderful harmony. And if you are in harmony with yourself and with God, you will be in harmony with brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You will not feel threatened by anybody else.
That's right.
This is me. And God loves me.
Yes.
As I said yesterday, you can only define yourself not from out from your giftings or what you're doing, but out from what He has done for you. We are hidden in Christ. Your past is Christ. Your future is Christ. Amen. But there was a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they own and pulled the resources so that each person's needs was met. And then they followed a daily discipline. And that's another positive word. Discipline is a good word. It's a discipline because we are disciples.
Yes.
A disciple, to be a Christian, is not just a changing of mind. It means you receive Christ. The old you is dying. You get rid of the old life and you receive a new one.
Yes.
You are born again. A new life from Christ. And not only will you receive a new life, you will receive His life. But there was a daily discipline of worship. And I love that. To have a daily discipline in worship and in the temple, they follow the meals at home, every meal a celebration. You say exuberant? Yeah. And joyful as they praise God. People in general liked what they saw. People outside of the church liked what they saw. And the fruit of this life, of this daily discipline of worship, this wonderful harmony, living together, open homes, sharing hearts, see Christ in each other, and live a life in thankfulness to God. The fruit of this was that God, every day, added to the church those who have been saved.
Amen.
This is evangelism. This is how Jesus wants to demonstrate Himself through His body so that we can live a way that people out there, because you know what? There are so many people who will have what we have. If you don't believe that, you struggle. But there are so many people who will receive from us, who will have what you have.
Yes.
It is?
Yeah.
So when I see a church, who is living in a wonderful harmony, where people can see the love of Christ, where people can see somebody. Because when we worship Christ, we drink of the Spirit, you know. But I read this and I said, Father, thank you that you want to demonstrate yourself through your body of Christ. Not because we are perfect, but you are perfect.
Yes, yes.
Not because we was qualified. No, we was disqualified, but you qualified us on the cross.
Yes.
Please remember, when you look at yourself every morning, don't start with all the bad stuff you did and all the things you didn't do. Don't start with all your weaknesses. Start with Christ. Every morning I'm looking in the mirror and I said, God, thank you for everything you've done for me. And then I said, thank God I'm married. Well, yeah, I'm trying to be funny, but it's not easy. Yeah, no. Okay. I'm okay with my English? Yeah. Never make fun of one guy who have broken English because he knows another language. Praise God. But I'm very glad today because today I will give you two keys that if you get those two keys, you will be successful in everything you do in life. That will be my new book. Two keys to success. Okay, not seven keys, not eight keys, only two keys.
Yeah, that's good.
And I can guarantee you, if you get this, you will have a breakthrough.
Amen.
Okay, hallelujah. But first, Colossians 2:6 from the Message. My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you have been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. No, live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. No, do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Start live him. So how can you and me, how can we be successful? And of course, because where I'm coming from, it's about how can we see a breakthrough to see people saved in Coventry. But these keys I will share with you, that's about your whole life, you know? But also when it comes to see a breakthrough, to see people saved and being discipled in Coventry. I will not talk about evangelism, so you can just relax today, okay? But I'm just talking about a life in the Spirit. Which means people saved.
Yes.
People healed. Heaven down to earth.
Yes.
Through your hands.
Yes.
To your voice. Your feet. What you do. Okay? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, said, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will have him, will enter. Luke 11:28. Jesus replied, but even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. Key number one is to hear, and key number two is to do. You got it? Number one, to hear. Number two, to do. Which means, if Jesus is saying that we must do what we hear, we can do it. Everything he is telling us to do, we can do. You don't need to wait for God for big changes in your life. You don't need to wait for God to do something in you. You don't need to wait for anything. Because remember when Christ came in Matthew 4, he said, come follow me and I will teach you how to catch people. He spoke to the disciples, which are us. Because we are disciples. And every time you read about the disciple, Jesus talking to the disciples, you have to include yourself. But Jesus said, come follow me, and I will teach you how to catch people. And that means the disciples was really different in the gifting. I mean, there were so many different personalities or gifting or talents. But they had one thing in common. They were all fishers of men. And Jesus is speaking to us today, and he say, come follow me. And if we follow him, he will teach us how to catch people. He will show us what to do so that we can do it. And if we do, he will teach us how to catch people. People will be saved because of that. Amen? So the only thing we have to do, we have to follow Christ. We have to do the things he's telling us to do. So how then can we hear his voice? How can he tell us? How do we know what to do? Well, first of all, if you read this book, which is the Word of God, and if you read the Gospels and you read the whole Bible, you will get to know him. You will get to know him. You don't all the time need, like the Holy Spirit shall speak to you directly. Of course he can do that, and he will. But you read the Bible, and you get to know Christ. And the last 2 years, I've been working with this scripture from Matthew about following Christ, and then he will teach us. Means I can read through the Gospel, I can see Jesus, his everyday life, and it speaks to me, and I will join him when he was walking a road. When he was sitting at the well, I've been there. When he met Nathaniel, I was there. I've been there. When he saw Zacchaeus in a tree, I've been there. I've been reading. I've been listening. I've been asking the Holy Spirit, and suddenly I find myself not like Jesus was sitting at the well with a woman who was there, but I can find myself sitting on a bus, in a park, you name it. And I've been there before. I've been watching Jesus, and I can hear Jesus speaking to me, not only through his words, but also through his life. And he said, Anna, look at me. Do what I do. You can do it, no? And I can, because I have the Spirit of God living in me. Jesus was led by the Spirit. In all his life, when he was walking around, he was led by the Spirit. And he's telling us, look at me. So you're not just reading about the life of Christ in the gospel. You are reading about your own life. Everything Jesus did, you can do except from the cross. Jesus said that we should do the same thing here, even greater things. Means it is possible for us. And his life is speaking to me. It's not just when you read the gospel, please don't just read the word he's saying. Of course, we have to read the word he's saying, but also let his life speak to you.
Yes.
And I know he was perfect in everything he did, but it's a process, but he's speaking to us. But we don't need to wait for anything, because when Jesus came, he came to the disciples. So when he said, please come follow me, so where did he meet Peter? He met him on his working place. Jesus was not perfect at all, but Jesus came to him and he said, follow me. And he started to follow Christ for where he was, not where he hoped he should be. And Jesus is coming to you today. I don't know you. I don't know what you have done or mistakes or whatever. I don't care. The only thing I know that Christ is coming to you today and he's saying, follow me. And he knows you. He knows me. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows about my failures. But he doesn't looking after that. He's just looking after somebody who is open, who is longing for him so that he can have a lot of space inside of us. And he just say, Anna, follow me from today. Because the past is just history. You can't change it. The only way you can follow Christ is from today and forward. And then you start to follow him. That is discipleship, to follow Christ, to look at him, to learn from him, to hear, to have fellowship with him. And that is so important. I just want to share this picture with you. If you can imagine yourself like, I don't know if you have locks in Coventry. You have not locks there because you don't have water. But we have a lot of locks, a big ship in a lock, and then you fill it with water and the ship is lifted up, and then you continue in more space or whatever. You know a lock? Yeah. So if the city church in Coventry could be that ship, or you could be the ship, and you know maybe you have prophetic words, and I know for sure there is a prophetic church, word over the church here. And God is saying that he will lift the church up. He will take us further. He will fill this lock with water. He will fill with water, with blessings. But it doesn't matter how much water God is filling if you don't close the door behind you. And for some of you guys, something is holding you back. Something is holding you back. Maybe you did something that was not good. So what? Maybe somebody did something towards you that hurt you. I have hurt many people. But what I have to do is to close the door behind me. I have to forgive if somebody did something towards me. If I did something that was, you know, I could tell you a lot of stories that things didn't work at all. But I cannot follow Christ by looking backwards. I can only follow Christ from today. And I strongly believe that Christ today will come to some of you and set you free so that you can serve him by looking forward. And because he said, no one can put both hands on the plow and look back. And if we do, we are not fitted for the kingdom. You cannot survive by food you was eating 2 weeks ago. You have to eat fresh food today. Amen. Because God wants to use us, and we are here for a purpose. We are here to turn the city upside down for Christ. So you can actually follow Christ today. But people there was Edmund Burke, he's a philosopher. He said this: all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good man to do nothing. Not that we make mistakes, but it's not if we are doing nothing. So we are called actually to be somebody who do what we hear, so that the word can become flesh and blood. Not that just we have big heads, because we have heard so many different messages. We have heard the word of God, but we have to take the word and we have to live it. Otherwise, we just have the word in our mind. Healing, amen, brother. Praying for the sick, amen, brother. But if we don't do it, nothing is happening. We are fooling ourselves. Amen? And God will use us today. God is doing something in Covenant New today. God is active. God is touching people. God is active. Jesus did what he saw the Father was doing, and God is still doing things. And we are singing, your will be done, your kingdom come. And it will come through you and me when we start to move. You don't need power to sit. But Book of Acts is saying, 8:1, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we will be a witness. The power and the anointing is not just for me, it's for people. It's for us to fulfill, because the mission we have been given is impossible. There is no way we can fulfill this mission. There is no way you can do everything God has called you to do. There is no way you can do that in your own strength. And the very nature in your calling, it's like it demands more of you than you are able to do. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. Yes. When Jesus said, follow him. Yeah, follow him then. He was baptized. He came up from the water. There was an open heaven, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was led by the Spirit. He was driven by the Spirit. And he's saying, follow me. He was a mountain climber. He was up on the mountain fellowshipping with the Father and saying, follow me. I can do that. I can worship him. I can't be led by the Spirit. I can't be driven by the Spirit if I live under an open heaven and if I'm living in a daily discipline of worship. And in the word. And in the fellowshipping with the other parts of the body. We can do it. That's you. Christianity is not boring. It's you. It's me. It's us together. And the same Spirit who was in Christ is in you. The same Spirit who was there in the beginning lives in us. And when Jesus is sending us out in a great commission, he's starting out by, because he have all authority, because he has been given all authority, and because of that, he is sending us out to Coventry. So that he can continue doing what he did when he was walking on earth. Right. But no, he will do it through you and me.
That's right. Yes.
And the enemy is operating in the mind, you know, and in our mind and in our feelings, you know. And if you must never be led by your feelings. That the feelings could take us all over the place. But the thing is, we can always obey. We can always follow Christ. And the same Spirit. And Jesus said, it's so much better for you that I go to be with the Father. Because if I go to him, I will receive from him what he has promised you. So Jesus came, received the Holy Spirit, and then poured out the Holy Spirit over the disciples. So they was baptized in the Spirit, and immediately they left the building and they started to do and continue doing. They got the baton from Christ, and they continue doing the same things as Jesus did. And that's us. Please, you have to understand who you are and what you have. Do you know the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit? Jesus is demonstrating for us how God, what God could do through one man who was
totally 100% depending on the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not move out from his divinity, but out from his anointed humanity. Otherwise, he couldn't tell us to do the same thing. And it's not about style. It's not about feeling this or feeling that or, oh, I feel the power. Well, I have the power. I have the Holy Spirit. Oh, I feel his presence. I don't feel his presence. Well, I'll have him living inside of me. You have to know your identity if we are going to change people's destiny. Christ have more faith in you than we have in him.
Yeah. Amen.
But don't have more faith in the future. But have faith in Christ, but also in Christ in you and in each other. And then he's putting us together like Jesus was a team too. He drew people to him. He had disciples. He had friends. And even God himself is team. Yes. You know? It's great, isn't it? There was one thing. I know I do that all the time. I have this. I'm really good to talk about things that I'm going to do. And things I can do. You know, I can do this. And I'm going to do this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the only thing I do, I just notice one thing. Is that my will start to lose respect for my words. If I'm just only talking about things. And nothing is really happening before I start to do it. You are here because... Not just because you heard there were going to be a meeting today in this new place. You are here because you actually did something. I know you are here. And to serve Christ and to see people saved is that we have to start to do the things he tells us to do. And we have to understand we can do it because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The person, the Holy Spirit. Book of Acts 10:38. Jesus from Nazareth, who was anointed from God with the Holy Spirit and power, he went around and he doing good and he was healing everybody who was under the devil. He was able to do all this. All the things Jesus did, he was able to do it because God was with him. What does that mean for you when you read the Great Commission? That Jesus is saying to us that we should go out to do disciples, to teach people to obey everything Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean when he said this? And be sure of this, I am with you. Every day includes this one. What does that mean for you when you go to work tomorrow? That God is saying, I am with you. It must mean something. It must mean something. Amen? So I've just started to realize that I must not just talk about the things that I can do and will do, but actually, when I start to do things, when I take one step, the power of God is releasing, will be released in me. And the most important step you will take your whole life will always be the first. Amen. But don't wait for things God has already given you. So many of us, we are waiting for God to see God's power released, you know. And we are praying to God. And some of us, we are praying prayers God never will answer because he has already done it. But we have to start doing it. I'm not saying you don't do it things. But there's so many things for us, God has for us, that will release his power. And some of us, we are waiting for something shall happen. And God is saying, no. I already given to you. And in one way, if we are obedient to the word of God and we start to do that, obedience is unwrapping the gifts God has already put in my life and in your life. Very good. Amen? And Jesus in Matthew 9, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's you, and that's me. Amen. I don't know what kind of relationship you have with the Holy Spirit. I know that you have. And I'm talking to myself too. You know, the key for me is really to get to know the person of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues. Worshipping. Talk to him. Speak to him. Listen to him. Fellowship with him. The person, which is Christ in us. Allowing him to lead you, to guide you. And the most natural thing for you is to hear his voice. It is not hard to hear his voice. Because he lives in you. You don't need to welcome him. You don't need to ask him to come. He came and you came. But he just wants to have a lot of space. And I love that. And I love the thing is, because every day is packed with opportunities. Ephesians 2:10. Every day is prepared for, your life is prepared of God. Your everyday life is full of opportunities for you to do things that God wants you to do. But maybe they have a little start, small starts. But if we are there and we just notice that Christ wants to seek through me, through you, he wants to lead us, he wants to use us, and the Holy Spirit will show us things. So when we start to doing it, suddenly it can grow to big miracles, huge miracles. So you don't need to change before God can use you. I have a friend, he's a plumber. And so we was talking about this, what does it mean that Christ said, follow me? And then he said in Luke 19:10, so he came to seek what was lost to save. How is Jesus seeking today? Well, so we was talking about that. How is he seeking? And we realized he is seeking through us. Remember the woman at the well? She received the living water, and she left Christ, and she was running into the village to her friends and her neighbors and said, come and see a man who told me everything I had. And she led them to Christ. She got a surge ending on the inside, much powerful than Google, but it was Christ in her seeking to her friends, seeking to see her friends. But he used her voice. He used her body. And this plumber, he came to work. Plumbers go to work. That shouldn't be any surprise. So he just was going to visit somebody in a house there. So he came to the house like he normally do. And this lady opened the door. He went into the kitchen where plumbers, they love to be in the kitchen. It was under the sink, and they love being under the sink. They just love that, you know. Business as usual. And then after a while, he was just under there. This lady came and said, you want a cup of coffee? And he said, yes. Nothing special. But then she started to talk. And remember now, when the plumber is there, the kingdom of God is there. He was a born-again Christian. Where you are, the kingdom is. And we have to understand that in the revelation we have. I believe, every people I meet will be changed when they meet me. Wow, yeah, exactly. Not because I'm so handsome, you know, and strong upper body. But you know what? Because we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God's strategy for one village was one woman, not 12 disciples. And she had just been born for seconds. No Bible school, nothing. And he was there. And he was Christ towards her. He was love of Christ towards her. He was representing, because he had a Christ and the living Spirit of God inside of him. She was talking. And in the middle of the conversation, she said, you know what, I have cancer. And my friend was thinking, why are you telling me all this? And then he realized Christ was no seeking through him. And she was sharing about cancer. The doctor said, there's nothing we can do. My friend was listening to her. And sometimes just to listen is to show people the love of Christ. That we show interest in people. And my friend said, you know what? I'm a Christian. Would it be okay if I come back and take somebody from the church with me? Because we do believe that Jesus can heal people. And she said, do you really want to come back? We never know before we ask. Sometimes we think too much on others' behalf. And the evening, they came back. And they just was listening to her again. And they prayed for her. And she said, you know what? I've been longing for a long time to have peace with God. So they led her to the Lord. She got saved. She didn't get healed. But she got saved. And then we said, well, what about your husband? Do you talk about God with him? Oh, yeah. Can you please come back tomorrow? And yeah, we will come back. We can take some cakes and coffee with us. And they came back. They led him to the Lord. And after a while, they was been playing in a group. Four or five people, those in the group, got saved. It was some of the neighbors got saved. It was some of the friends got saved. And it just was. One plumber going to work. Nothing special. And Jesus saying, follow me. He is walking through the desert. He's tired. He's sitting down at the well. A woman is coming. And Noah just watching. Jesus, what are you doing now? She is a sinner. What are you doing? Miracles. Healings. And how does he start? Small talk. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be in your small talk? Do you know that your small talk can actually open people's heart? Because when Christ was there, she had a longing in her heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God puts eternity into every man's heart. And when Jesus was talking to this woman, her heart was just crying out for him. And when he said, if you receive the living water, I will give you. You will never thirst. She didn't understand it in her head because she said, well, give me this living water so I don't need to come to this well. But it was this longing inside of her who was speaking to Christ. And he met her on her greatest need. And then he had a word of knowledge. He said, go and get the husband. Jesus was moving in all the gifts of the Spirit to show us how we can do it. I don't know if you have thought of that. But it did. But the thing is, in the small talk, that was the beginning of a huge miracle. A whole village nearly came to him because of this little beginning. And I'm thinking, wow. No, my Tuesdays and my Mondays start to get really excited. My wife decided one thing. She said to me, okay, tomorrow morning, I will do, in lunchtime tomorrow, when I go to work, I will just ask one question to one of my colleagues. I will not mention Jesus. I will not mention any scriptures. So next day came, and that normally does, doesn't it? You know, so you're sleeping, and then there was another day, if not Jesus coming back. But so she went to work, which she always do. And then she was working for a couple of hours, and then lunchtime is coming, as it normally does. And then they're sitting down, and a colleague is coming. So everything is like normal. And then my wife looks at at her colleague. She is, if you like, giving herself in focus. And then she's asking one question. How are you really doing? This is evangelism. How are you really doing? And she is just giving herself. Remember, you have in your heart the most powerful thing that God has given you. And that is the love of Christ. God poured out his love in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Means his love in you is more than just you can feel his love for you. Which I hope you do. And if you don't feel it, he still loves you. But his love that God poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit is that John 3:16 love. For so God loved the world that he gave his son, and he's still giving through us. So when Chastity was there, my wife was there, her colleague, the love of Christ is just ministry to this colleague. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is over my wife, but also over that person. So when Chastity was asking that question, suddenly her colleague just opened up her life for her. And there was just, she was just pouring out a lot of things. And after that, she said to Chastity, you know what? Thank you for asking. Thank you for just being there and listen to me. And on the evening, there was a text message coming saying, thank you, it was so good. Did she receive Christ? Not yet. Work in progress. But my wife led this colleague to the Lord.
She's closer now because what Chastity did. Why do it so complicated? Why do it so difficult? Why not just being you, but maybe just change focus a little? And actually, you will discover there's a lot of things you already do that matters. But just the word evangelism scares us. If I can be a kind of black and white there, forget evangelism, but follow Christ. And please be you. The Gospels is just a lot of evidence. Of course people have to hear the Gospel, the good news. Of course they have. But we have to win a way to speak into the life sometimes. But everyday life is packed with opportunities. We was talking about yesterday or the day before. On my phone, every Monday, 10 minutes past 2, the alarm comes up and I see 000. And that is just to remind me of Ephesians 2:10, that God had, you know, had put a lot of finished deeds or prepare every day for us to walk into. And 000 is ocean of opportunities. It's helping me not to stress, not to focus on hearing a voice, but just to rediscover my everyday life in the light of the Gospel, in the light of Jesus' everyday life. Amen? Ephesians 1:19-20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believes in Him. This is the same mighty power. Same mighty power who raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor and God's right hand in the heavenly realms. This mighty power lives in you and in me. What are we lacking to do what he asks us to do? Nothing. So please, when it comes to, if I can just say this, when it comes to things like we shall lay hands on the sick and heal them. Luke 10. You can read different. But it's like we shall lay hands on the sick and heal them. And not everybody I pray for will get healed. Okay? But the thing is, I have to understand that I will not just focus on me why and ask questions why it's not happening. I will talk to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, continue your work in me. Continue. Don't give up on me. Father, I want to position myself so that I know. And I know it starts not out there. It starts on a mountaintop. It starts in His presence. So my devotional life is more important for my neighbor than sometimes for me. Because it starts in His presence, and we bring His presence with us. And sometimes, you know, it's just there. I remember I was on a plane talking with the Holy Spirit, and I said, what does it mean that I'm anointed? What does it mean that, you know, that I bring your presence with me? What does it mean, Father, in flesh and blood? And suddenly the guy sitting next to me turned and looked at me and said, excuse me, sir, what? There was something with you, isn't it? And I'm saying, wow, what's this? Yeah, there is something with it. I just had a show and everything, and I was like, what's going on? And suddenly I realized I was just asking the Holy Spirit, what does it mean that I'm anointed? What does it mean that you are with me when I'm alone with people? So I just looked at him and I said, oh yeah, I think I know what you're saying. I think I know what you mean. Do you want me to share that with you? And he said, yes, please. So what you can feel, sir, is that I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. I know Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. That's what you feel. And I do believe that's what you want. And suddenly, it just opened up. And it was what he wanted. And I could just share Christ with him. And he just totally changed. I didn't start it. But please, everything we read, everything God is speaking to us, is about your everyday life that we can, you can continue being you. You can use your own words, and you don't need to compare. You can be you. You are the best people in the world to be you. You're the best people to be you. You're the best person to be you. Anybody else is taken anyway. Amen. And then I see there is a lot of promises God has given to us.
in this mission God has given to you. There's a lot of promises. And I think every time you need a promise, you have to realize, why is the promise there? It's because you need them. I need the promises of God. No, he knows my situation. He knows exactly where you are. And in that, he is giving us some promises that if I do this, he will do that. If we do this, he will do that. And for me, like what I said, that we shall lay hands on the sick and he will heal them. That's a promise for me. And then I do it and I don't see it. Means, okay, God, I just want to agree with what your word is saying. I will not allow myself to give up. Because when we are there and when we are following Christ, it's not always easy. There will be some resistance. There will be some problems. It could be trouble. But where in the Bible does it say it's easy to follow Christ? But it's not always easy, but it's right to do it. Because there are people waiting for us. People waiting for you. And my prayer is that we shall rediscover our everyday life. That I can be natural, supernatural. That I can relax. And we have an expression in Norwegian, that lowering our shoulders mean to relax and realize Christ. You will use me today. You allow me to see people the way you do. And even see myself the way you do. Amen? Amen. But what does it mean that you are anointed with the Holy Spirit? I ask questions to myself like that. Because I have to understand what God is saying to me. And then I have to do it. Like when Jesus was talking to I think it was Philip. And about all the people who was hungry. Philip saw the need. And Jesus saw the need. But they had a different point of view. So Philip saw the need, but he didn't know what he had access to. So the way he would solve the problem would send people away from Christ. But Jesus saw the Father first. And every time Jesus met people, he first have seen the Father. And that's so important for us, that when we meet people, see them through the Father, knowing what the Father have done for them. Done for you, and what God has done for them. And Jesus then I love this, by talking about following Christ. So the disciples took the bread, took the fish. Now Jesus took the bread and took the fish, and the disciples was watching Jesus. And then they just did the same thing. Jesus gave the fish and the bread to the disciples, and they just did what they saw. They broke the bread, they took the fish, and they gave it. And the question, where did the miracle happen? In the hand of the disciples. So we can do because we have the Holy Spirit. We can do because we have the Holy Spirit. What is there anything that is holding you back today? Is there anything that is holding you back for you to fulfill everything God has called you to do? From God's point of view, there is nothing. From God's point of view, there is power, there is an anointing, there is healing, there is salvation, there is restoration, there is, deliverance. But he just wants to use his body. And what I feel, last time I was saying this time, I thank God for every one of you, because I know God, a lot of things is already happening. So please hear me right. I'm not saying you don't. But I just feel God wants to take us to another level. Closing the doors behind us. Have the focus from today and forward. Really to understand what he has given us. And just pray prayers according to his will. And then be obedient to hear it and do it. And you do it your way. But in your way of doing it, the Holy Spirit is. Amen. And we have to learn by doing. That's the only way in life in general. I don't think you learned to bike and you just jumped on a bike and suddenly we're like, yee-hoo. I think I did. Some of us, we just fell. Was that a mistake? No, it's a part of the learning process. Everything you do, every step that takes us this way, we should celebrate.
And if you should fall, fall at least forward so you have the direction. Amen? Thank you, Father. But the disciples was first phoned by Jesus. And when Jesus said that he would come to seek what was lost, first of all, let him find you. Please position yourself so that he can find you every day. Don't let us hide behind activities or different things. Even good things in church. Even good things in my life. Christ, you first in my life. Nothing between me and Christ. Amen? So Jesus showed them what to do it, and then they did it. And don't use your lack of or bad experience or even your past against yourself. Just agree with God. He knew exactly what he did when he saved you. Yes. And he has given you gifts. Amen. He has given you the Spirit of God. He has given you Christ himself. I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. Just speak those words yourself also when you enter into your everyday life. You are not just a simple person. You are a kingdom person. Yes. Amen. Where you go, angels are serving you. That's right. Open heaven. Mm-hmm. Your simple words can actually, because when you do it, the Holy Spirit within the words, and they can receive Christ because of what you're doing. I remember I came to a church, first time in church in Bergen, and I got this beautiful, beautiful vision or whatever about Jesus leaving the 99 lamb and just to follow to find the one lamb. It was beautiful. And I would just came into the church, and I was a man of God, seeing a miracle and healings. And of course, I had to go to the platform and share this with 800 people. So I did, but you know what? It just became the worst mess in my life ever. I forgot everything. I didn't was 99, it was a 76 lamb. Everything was just chaotic. I just felt so stupid, so humiliated, you know. And I was like, man, boy, God, why are you doing this? I don't remember what he, and everybody, people was looking at me, and some people were smiling, and I felt so stupid. And I said, God, take me away. And then I went down to my wife and said, I'm not going to this church anymore. I felt so stupid. And then after the meeting, one lady came to me and she said, about this, what you shared. Oh, give me a break. Yeah, it was me. What's you? Like that. Oh, it was me. I want to be saved. Oh, sorry? I want to be saved. Okay. But even in my stupidness or whatever, the Holy Spirit could use those words. And he taught me something. It's not about me. It's about him. But at least I did something. I came out from a meeting, and then there was a lady, a Christian meeting, if a meeting can be a Christian. But it was a meeting with Christian people. And I saw this lady standing outside, and this was in Finland, and I saw her with her mobile phone. And I looked at her, and I heard this voice say, just do it. You know, this Nike. Just do it. And I looked at her, and I heard the voice again, just do it. Do what? Nothing. So I said, okay. So I started to walk. And when I took the first step, and then I took another step, and then something got some thoughts in my head. And then I came over to her and said, excuse me. And she looked at me, and I knew she was a Christian because she was on a conference for Christian people. God spoke to me. I shouldn't have said that, but I said, God spoke to me, yeah. And he told me to tell you, yeah, just do it. Oh, hallelujah, whatever. Like that. What's going on? But what happened just then, the day before, her boyfriend had proposed to her. Becca or something. And he said, and she said, well, you know, he proposed to me, and he's a good man, but I don't know exactly if this is the man God wants me to get married to. So she was just sending a message to her friends. And please pray for me. This Becca had proposed to me. Please pray for me, and I need to know what God is saying. So here I'm coming, you know, with this just doing thing in my head. And just before I came, you heard it, ding. And she said, and just before you came over, I got the answer from my friends. And they said, we've been praying for you, and we feel God is saying, just do it. Okay.
So this is what God is saying. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. And thank you for that. You're already doing it. But it's just God. I just being here. I'm not just saying this to be positive. But I really sense in my spirit that you are just pushing, pushing. And some of you are pushing at the door, but I see a whole wall coming falling down. And for some of you, the door you're pushing is open. Just take a step back so God can open it this way. But God will use City Church and anoint the people. Please, every day, give him thanks.
Yes.
PIN code for successful life is 6 letters. THNKS. Thanks. But also, it's about being obedient. Drinking of the Spirit. Don't meet your everyday just physically clothed, but spiritually clothed. Eating the Word and drinking of the Spirit.
Yes.
Fellowshipping. Wonderful harmony. Daily discipline. And speak good to each other.
Yes.
Don't about each other, but to each other.
Right.
Encourage each other. See Christ in us. Don't look for every, the failures or the bad stuff. No. We can see Christ in each other. So that God can use, so that people outside will be in awe of what they see. Amen?
Amen.
So I do believe it would be great just to be in his presence. I believe strongly that Christ will come and meet us. And remember, if things happen, hold you back, remember, there is a reason that God has given us 24 hours. If you mess it up, he will give you new 24 hours. And some of you guys, you just need to take a new start. Don't try to live your life with your focus backwards. If somebody did something towards you, it's your responsibility to forgive. It doesn't mean that you agree. But when you forgive, you are free. And then also, I strongly believe that if there are things in your life, like on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and it filled the whole room, the whole house.
Yes.
And your body is a house.
Yes.
No private rooms. Because you are a part of a heavenly strategy and heavenly plan for this city, Coventry.
Amen.
And God would use you and me. And I just feel the Holy Spirit would just refresh us today. We'll open our eyes so we can see and receive every day coming. And with joy and with peace with God. Amen.
Yes.
Because God has faith in this church. God believes in this church.
Yes.
And I just want you and me to agree with that, you know. And maybe some of you need to repent for sin. You don't? But just do it in his presence. But Christ will come today right where you are. He will come to you and say, okay, follow me from today.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
And he will.
Hallelujah.
So the grace of Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit
Yes.
be with you at work, in your neighborhood, university. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.